Hello everybody, this is Victor here from Trend Following Trading for Beginners, and here's my weekly update on my Sambo trading portfolio, coming up next. Hello everybody, welcome back to another of my episode. This week, I just want to have a quick recap of what has been gone on the last 6 months or so, and obviously just how the trading is going through. Essentially, we have, of course, great recovery. Joe Biden came into office from the new U.S. president, and we don't hear much of Donald Trump anymore. However, the 100-day or so just sort of came up. And pass in the U.S. but the stock markets continue to improve, as if nothing much happened. In the case, like as if COVID-19 really didn't damage anything in the U.S. anyway, but also in Europe and around the world, the stock market seems to go defined. What is happening on the main street? You know, the COVID-19 came. And initially detected in Asia, in China first, and then went to Europe and in the US, and it got a lot of this lockdown. But the stock market seems to think that, you know, the markets can recover and go to a new high in most stock markets. And then we got, obviously, a number of second wave, third wave, and now India is suffering quite a bit, but obviously it's already came down a bit more. However, I think in Asia, in Japan, for example, and so South Korea seems to have a third wave now. So, and UK has eased the lockdown, but a slightly increase of new cases being detected. And this time, there's a lot of variants going on, not just COVID-19 now. You've got variants from UK, we've got variants in South Africa, we've got variants of the COVID-19 in Brazil, and now apparently the one in in Asia or something, or somewhere. It's a mixture of Indian variant as well as the UK variant or something, and it's also detected in UK as well. So I don't know what might happen next, but essentially, with all this going on, part of the world still sort of some kind of lockdown in the West, but in the East it's a lot better. But a lot of businesses sort of didn't survive. And however, the stock markets don't seem to take that into account and just thought everybody will go back to normal and then some, because the US government or government around it was pumping loads of money into the stock market. And the stock market basically is saying everything is hunky-dory, sunshine is very good, but the main street is telling different things. You go to any of your, wherever you live, go to the town, you see a lot of places for rent sign, for sale, and there's a lot of, quite a lot of people got no jobs, that kind of thing as well. But in this background, we have the stock market telling us, well, everything is fine. But then when you go to shop, buy food generally, there's inflation. Things have gotten a bit more expensive than we have about a year ago or so. And all of that is sort of like a backdrop for, you know, the next 6 months to come. And obviously you have, you know, people start now realize there is the incoming inflation happening, and the gold suddenly gone up a bit more now. People start to realize because of a hedge of the gold, but also hedge against inflation, hedge against US dollar being devalued, so to speak, because there's just so much money that's been printed by US government. And Joe Biden basically came in office, have put in the law, or the $1.9 trillion dollars bill, basically just give people US give people more money. But there's also now that's on top of what President Donald Trump have done. Now President Joe Biden's talking about another $6 trillion of infrastructure bills or proposal to change and things like that, and that is sort of just going to make the market even more jittery, I think, about inflation and the stock with the US market. But as far as concerned, this is like it's like two worlds, you know. Stock market saying everything is sunshine, but the main street we all see is not. And I think in the next 6 months we probably see quite a bit of things, and I personally feel it's like a storm coming. All of us can see it, but somehow the stock market seems to go the other way. Yes, the flood of money from the government around the world have to go somewhere, and that seems to have gone into the stock market. And also, the other thing is, because of lockdown, a lot of people lost their job, but also a lot of people who managed able to work online have moved away from the cities and go to the suburb area and countryside and so forth. And you see the house prices gone up because people move away from the city center or mass work park area, and then go to other places, go stay at home and work, and because they stay there much longer than usual. You know, when all of us go to work, we don't stay at home and only come back home at night, and stay at home all like 24/7 all the time. People want bigger space, so they want to move away from the city where they can get more space for the buck, so to speak. And this causes quite a bit of a rise in house prices, well, in the Western world anyway, definitely in UK here, and in US as well. And all of this happening at the same time, you go to the street, you see a lot of places, like I said, you know, for rent, for sale sign, a lot of people lost their jobs. And and the other thing is, obviously, a lot of in UK anyway, so I'm sure in other parts of the world, you've been the government basically have delayed any eviction of commercial tenants as well as residential tenants. So people who've been renting, either it's a business or, you know, residential, or people pay mortgages because they have no income, you know, either they lost their jobs and or the shops not been shut down, closed, so to speak, due to the COVID-19 restriction. Commercial property the same as well as residential. It's got to face quite a bit of problems to pay their rent or mortgages. And UK in particular have quite a bit of problems. I'm sure America is the same, but the governments around the world, basically, or in Western world, try to delay this, you know, this effect of eviction by having an extra long eviction process, or, you know, moratorium, basically a whole fire case for eviction or any eviction from repossession from properties, that kind of thing, from the banks. So all this is stirring up problems in the next 6 months or 12 months when the lockdown eases, people start to go back to work, and then the government's pause on evictions and so forth, and the law rules all come to an end. And you see lots of people start, not just because losing their job, they basically losing, you know, their houses because they get evicted, either renting or the house get repossessed because the bank had to get the money back, right? And we got to see quite a bit of problems going to happen in Main Street soon. As far as I'm concerned, the next 6 months, it's going to be, you know, quite a bit of things. Personally, it's going to be volatile as far as I'm concerned. And the market may suffer a reset, so to speak, as inflation definitely coming in. And then you have banks probably feel a bit of more pinch because government around the world can't continue just keep on printing money, right? So sooner or later, they have to slowly slow down the money flooding the market. What does that mean to the stock market? And that probably, you know, cause it to crash. And then the banks, which I talked earlier, which hold the mortgages, on the other hand, people cannot pay. So what they do, they just sell down the market and make people evict them from the houses and so forth. And this is going to affect our banks' earnings. And all of this haven't actually show up yet, and we will see quite a bit of problems. As far as I'm concerned, next 6 months, or maybe the next couple of months, because of the inflation has been, you know, way above the 2% in US anyway, and also in UK, way above the consensus of what they were expecting to be comfortable by the government. There's talks now of possibility, what Yellen is doing in America, testing water, possibly early increase of interest rate. And this is going to cause quite a lot of problem down for the stock market as well as for the government. And we just have to wait and see what happens. But overall, I see big inflation coming along, and US dollars, just far too many of them going around. And then we have obviously inflation, because most things nowadays is rated in American dollars. So if American dollars, well, weakness continue, we probably see, like, for example, crude oil continue to go up, gold's already gone up. lumber, apparently wood, has gone through the roof around the world with futures, simply because people just moving houses, new houses got built and so forth. And on UK as well, there's I think last week and this couple of days ago, basically a lot of shops that sells merchandise for DIY, for house buildings and so forth, fixing houses, they all say, you know, the materials getting more expensive, they go past the increase in lumbers or plasterboards or plasters and whatever equipment, that, I mean, cement and so forth, got increase in cost. And that's, you know, cause inflation as well as, you know, food and probably house prices and everything else. So we just have to wait and see how things go. But for me anyway, I think the US dollar index weakness is definitely a big theme, plus the inflation and plus possible interest rate that actually are coming through. And I think that's just going to cause quite a bit of a problem later on. And most of all, I think we can see probably quite a bit of increase in crude oil as well, similar to 2007-2008. We have a similar effect, and then after the recession kicks in, and because U.S. dollars increases so much in volume and circulation, everything rated in U.S. dollars going through the roof, so to speak, a bit, especially on the crude oil side. Oh, I think there's quite a bit of things will come for next couple of years, and crude oil probably, you know, follow what is happening in the history. But I think the main thing first will be gold, as far as I'm concerned, because of people hedging for inflation. But also main thing is U.S. dollar index, U.S. dollar weaknesses. So anything that is rated in U.S. dollars will go up. But that also means that anything that is any of the foreign exchange rate against U.S. dollar probably go up as well. And that probably play a havoc to countries around the world, because a lot of them do, you know, export and so forth. But on the other hand, China seems to be allowing this Chinese dollar, Chinese yuan, to increase in value. And remember 2019 and so forth, you know, President Donald Trump said, or his presidency administration basically say China is a currency manipulator. Now, none of that has been talked about by U.S. government, by Joe Biden, President Joe Biden. But the U.S. dollars continue to weaken, Chinese dollar will continue to increase. And I think that, I mean, there is some sort of manipulation by the Chinese government, I'm concerned, because it overall is a closed system. It's not an open system, financial market anyway, in China. So the Chinese government has a say to, you know, the exchange rate of the, you know, Chinese dollar and how it's going to be used and so forth. And for the U.S., the Chinese dollars against U.S. dollars to increase in value, it must have a blessing by the Chinese government, in the sense that I think the Chinese government, not many people talk about it, is using the increase in the strength of yuan, Chinese dollar, against U.S. dollar to help it to fight against the inflationary incoming inflation or import inflation from anything that's rated in U.S. dollars. In a sense, you know, that's how they fight it. But overall, for China, I think it's a win-win for them, because as far as I understand, that gross domestic products every year is only 20% account for its export base. And so if the increase of Chinese dollar will harm the export, but the other 80% or so, you know, buying a lot of stuff from overseas and other countries will basically help it to to able to buy things cheaper from around the world. So it's a fight against inflationary effects. So I think overall China will benefit from it. And out of all this, overall, I really see the going forward, the U.S. U.S. dollar index weakness causes gold to increase, silver. We already seen that with the copper last year. Probably that will continue a little bit, but not as much as last year, but will continue. And then you see crude oil actually going up as well. And foreign exchanges, a lot of them actually will change in value, I think increase value, simply because U.S. dollars is down, but against each other, probably stay where they are. But so this is for me anyway, for next 6 months, the big theme is US dollar index weakness, inflations and coming through, and how to play with it. And overall, it's a mixture of things, and we'll probably see a lot more problematic issues on the main street. You know, those ones that have are able to work from home kind of thing will probably continue work from home, but a lot of people will, you know, have already lost their job, will still be on the dole, because not all businesses have basically survived the COVID-19 lockdown, and a lot of people probably just, you know, close the shop, especially like if you are commercial tenants, you rent a shop to sell shoes, for example, because of COVID-19, you might shift some of that to your process online, buying things and selling things online using Amazon account or whatever, you know, doing things online, but you still have to pay the rent, insurance, and property tax and so forth for the rental property, you know, but you're selling shoes from on the main street, and because you've been forced to close the business and only do it online, you're probably suffering quite a bit of profit loss and so forth. And so how can you pay back the tenants, the landlord, when the lockdown finishes, out of the much reduced income that you've got? A lot of those businesses probably just fall in the tower and say, okay, I have enough, I'm not giving, continue, and therefore defaulted on paying the landlords. And then the landlord, because they might not have all the deep pocket like a lot of people does, or a big commercial company, and they again default on the banks, and couldn't pay the mortgage and so forth. So it's like a chain reaction kind of thing. So those are the type of things I sort of seeing coming in. But I think also the other thing is the interest rate. A lot of people really not talking much about it. They are a bit shocked. But I think the interest rate increase because of the inflation increase. If the U.S. government or government around the world really are interested in controlling the inflation, which I think they do, to actually match the fast increase of inflation coming through, they probably have to increase the interest rate quite fast as well. So people with fixed mortgages or fixed interest rate mortgages will be in good standing. But anybody on variable rate or buying or trying to get a new mortgage probably will have, you know, suffer because the interest rate might go up. Probably later this year or maybe early next year as well. But it could come much, much earlier, much, much faster. And that's the black swan thing. People expecting it but didn't expect it to come so fast so quickly. And that could knock the stock market up on its back as well. So a couple of that, all this inflationary stuff, all this US dollar weakness will probably, in my view, cause the market to reset a bit, and then we probably see, I think, the good times of stock market going up, you know, to even higher than, you know, March 2020 level. I think it's probably get a bit more reset and then come back to more realistic level. So that's basically my 2 cents worth to the next 6 months, and look at what happened last 6 months and so forth. And I do feel there's quite a bit of problems coming ahead. So I think it's a storm coming, but we don't know how bad the storm might be, but we all can see quite a bit of that clouds happening. In my view, it could happen relatively quickly, especially, you know, China and US still having a spat each other on a trade talk, and also, you know, US a lot more focused. So is China as well, a lot more focal of, you know, what the U.S. say is doing or whatever, and U.S. activity in South China Seas and so forth is, you know, causing concern. There might be war happening, who knows, and then that will be good for gold as well. But the other thing I think I want to take away is this. I just read it last week. Essentially, HSBC bank is getting out of U.S. market, selling all its U.S. operation and concentrating in Asia, which it did before. I think for HSBC it was bad going into from Europe and going into America. First, during the subprime problems, you know, they bought some subprime lenders and they caught themselves in the bit of a bundle. And then obviously there is problems with U.S. sanctions on Iran, and I think HSBC got caught doing business in Iran government or something, Iranian government, and got fined. And because of that, it got quite a lot of restriction and have to come clean with a lot of other accounts or whatever things it does with other countries, within other countries. And then the US government under President Donald Trump uses that and using the data to go against Huawei, and then Huawei obviously Meng Wanzhou got arrested in Canada. All this, you know, affected, you know, HSBC standing within Asia, within China especially. And I think it'd be good for it to actually get out of American market or even Europe market and concentrate in Asia, because as far as I'm concerned, for the next 50 years, it's Chinese time as well as Indians time, you know, just simply because the population, there's more people over there, more younger people over there, and Europeans and in America, even Latin America, the people are getting more older. The dynamics, the business opportunity, I think, so far is in Asia. So just basically going there is a good move as far as I'm concerned. But it also shows you, from a trading point of view, it's something that, you know, everyone should learn about it. Why did HSBC gone into US in the first place? You know, it was initially all because it was making quite a bit of money in Asia and Europe. And then suddenly it just sort of then gone in and did quite a bit of work in America and tried to, you know, break into the American market. And what happens then? It basically got itself in the muddle. And all this is happening while it is, you know, having a good time in America, in general, the star. But all this because they were flush with money, they were very big ego. And then they didn't watch out their backside and the downside, and it slowly causes more problems themselves. So this is a from trading point of view, this is something good lessons for us, all of us, to learn. Simply because when you are flooded with money, just remember and be careful. You know, you can make very stupid decision simply because you are being a straight of wins. You know, you might have 10 wins or 20 wins straight in a row, and then you suddenly forgot all the rules, and you think you can bend the rule, you can become God. And the market seems to bend your will for, you know, a limited time, but during that small short space of time during trading, you feel you're God. And whenever you change the rules a bit, the market seems to doing the way exactly you were thinking it to be, and it's making loads of money. And then you stop following your process, you stop being, you know, careful about your downside, and slowly and get yourself in the middle, and then and cause loads of problems to yourself. So from my point of view, the HSBC move from, you know, away from the US market is basically telling us, you know, all of us as trader, you know, follow your process, especially trend following, follow your process. Sometimes when you are making money, it's not because, you know, you're great, your system is God, or everything's working. It just happens at the time the market is the wind of the market is blowing in your way, and you've got to sell up, and you basically help you sell in the right direction at the right time, and you there have captured that trend, and you make loads of money out of it. But that doesn't mean that you're God. All you're saying is, all you're doing is you have caught the right wind. You know, you're on the right bus, so to speak, and went from A to B, and you caught that bus on time, make loads of money out of it. But if you throw all the process out the window, you will regret it, because it's the process that can make us, you know, get us where we are, and the process give us the quality of work, and, you know, and basically that also protect us as well as trend follower. Our mathematical formulas give us the edge. If we don't follow every trade, or only follow it when the trade is, you know, making us money, we will lose our edge, and then over time we will lose big time, big money, especially during the time when you are high, you're having making a new financial high in your account, and all the processes, all the thinking that you put in beforehand, all the hard work you've done is gone out the window because you think you can bend the rules, and it causes problems. So as far as I'm concerned, that's a good lesson for all of us. You know, remember, as trend follower, we stick with our process. We don't think don't really use emotional as a trading, you know, indicator, kind of thing. That's the whole idea about trend following, is use method based, mathematical based, so you don't do away with all this emotional trading. Anyway, that's enough of my morning for this week. Next week we'll have a look of the trend following portfolio I have, and see how things went last week. Okay, first of the bat is Apple. Short term is sell, medium term is neutral, long term is neutral, same as last week. Next is Amazon, same as Apple. Short term is sell, medium is neutral, long term is also neutral. From last week it was a bit sell for long term, but this week changed to neutral, so a bit of movement there. Next is Australian dollar against US dollar. Still short term is buy, medium term is neutral, long term is also neutral. Over the past week or so, you've seen we probably seen quite a bit of movement in US dollar index. It's trying to move back above 90 and stay above there, even go try to tackle 91 with the inflation's actually number comes out, and everybody was worried. And the US dollar sort of index went up to 90.77 area, that kind of thing, and then came back down below 90 and went up up above 90 again. All the while is tried to stay back above 90, it seems having problems, couldn't stay there for long. But at the same time, when the Australian dollar against US dollar, you see that it's still above 0.77. It haven't actually went down to 0.76 or anything lower, so 0.77 seems to be like a bottom at the moment. It tried to go above 0.78 quite a few times, actually went over there, but it couldn't keep itself. So it's this 100 about 100 pips kind of thing, you know, within diary, it's been going up and down. But I think if the US dollar index is actually weakened, which I'm expecting to be, then we will probably see a lot more movement, especially, you know, Joe Biden is thinking about another $6 trillion infrastructure bills or something to propose through the Congress and so forth. If that happens, or any form of it actually happens, let's say half or a third, you know, you already in the US debt is already what, $7 trillion, $8 trillion, put another, let's say $3 trillion on top, a third of what he's asked for, you know, that's like $10 trillion, and that's only what we counted for. What about, you know, medical bills and everything else, pensions and so forth? You talk about 20-30 trillion bills that, you know, US government have to pay, that kind of thing, liability and so forth. So overall, I think US dollars, which have been, you know, talked a lot, saying it will die because it's all this go down big time because of all this unaccounted for debt. But so long as people still believe in America, I think US will be okay. I think it's very much similar to what happens when Britain was the top of the world and everything raised more or less rated in British pounds, and then US came in, and then, you know, everything then moved to US dollar base or something. That sort of movement from, you know, the dominance from British into America is takes 100 or 50 odd years or something, you know, took quite a bit of time for it to transition. I think the similar thing will happen when it transition from America into China. The dominance, at least economic power wise, it will take some time, and I think US dollars will still be influential, just like British pounds, but probably less over time. But I think that probably maybe beyond my lifetime, but I see things, how things may go. It probably takes, you know, as usual, take quite a bit of time. But as far as trend following concern and markets concerned, I think if my thesis is correct, US dollars going to collapse or, you know, weaken significantly, you know, for the next 6 months. And I think US dollars, the Australian dollar against US dollar will go through the roof, just like everybody, everything else. It might have a bit of a dampened down a bit by the bad relationship currently between Australia and China. But if Australian government play, you know, its cards right, and China start talking back to Australia again, I think there'll be another, you know, rocket fuel, so to speak, put it behind, Australian dollar will go up. So I think to play catch up, you know, I think Australian dollar is the one that probably, you know, got a lot more legs to go to watch out for. So just continue to watch this one. Next is Brent crude. Short term is a buy, medium is neutral, long term is a buy, same as WTI crude oil, US crude oil. Short term is a buy, medium term is neutral, long term is a buy. So this, I said before, is continuing to move up. It's basically a, you know, one way street, more or less, from April last year when it went temporary to minus negative territory, and it's been going up. And I say earlier, if US dollar continue to weaken, I won't be surprised in a year or two we see, you know, instead of 60-70 US dollar per barrel, probably seeing, you know, maybe 100 again, kind of thing. So as far as this one got legs, but it's gonna take time to play it out, but don't ignore it. Next is DAX. in Germany, short-term supply, medium-term supply, long-term supply. So that's very similar to US side in Dow Jones. Next is, of course, Dow Jones. Short-term is a buy, medium is neutral, long-term is a buy. So it's going up there, okay. But I think Dow Jones might have make reach a recent high, I think about 35,000. That was done about 2 weeks or so ago. And since then, they have quite a bit of fluctuations going up and down, quite a bit, significant volatility. And last week was more or less recovering. And it might still continue to recover a bit more, but we just have to wait and see. Next is FTSE 100 in UK. Short term is a sell, medium to long term is still a buy. Overall, it's what, 6 months now since Brexit, and obviously we have COVID shutdown and now easing and so forth. And FTSE seems to, long term still reflecting good mood, but short term seems a bit of a cloud in the horizon, especially now they talk about a new increase, possibly a third wave, or the beginning of a third wave, because of an increase of people catching COVID-19 again, but this time it's not the old COVID-19 in Asia, or the one that they found in Eastern Europe, the variant that they found on itself in Kent, but this time apparently it's been mixed with the Indian variant as well, so we just have to wait and see how it goes. It might be more bad news coming later on, but who knows? Let's hope the UK government can keep things down. Next is gold. Short term is a buy, medium term is a buy, long term is a buy. Same as last week, no difference. Like I said earlier, I expect gold to continue to move up a bit slowly. But who knows? If any black swan events happen, it might just rocket it up. Right, black swan, for example, like U.S. and China have a bit of a crash in Southeast Asia, in the South China Sea. Who knows? With China's been very vocal lately, and U.S. have been sending warships over. With I think U.K. sent another warship over there as well. It can happen. It's just like back in what, the 60s or 50s when the Russia put a number of rockets in Cuba. What happened? The tense standby between the US and Russia at the time, caused quite a bit of problems. It might happen, say, again in Asia, and this will cause go up suddenly. But it can, once it dies down, probably go back down again quite quickly as well. So, but overall, I think gold is inflation bet, safeguard for inflation, as well as US dollar's weakness. But the possibility of any hiccups, who knows? Like wars or something happens, but I always continue to stay with gold. Mainly, like I said before, I say it again, gold is my main play for this year. Next is Hang Seng Index in Hong Kong. Short term is a buy, medium term is neutral, long term is a buy. So this one is seems to be, I think, benefiting both worlds, maybe a bit of following a bit of US lead, but also as well as China as well. If you have a look at Chinese indices, seems to recover quite a bit. The Hong Kong index seems to be stuck in the middle, so it's not moving as high significantly like what happened in Europe as well as in America, but it's not falling down flat either, so it's stuck in the middle. It's a bit indeterminate, but something I think is worth it to keep it on your radar, because if my hunch is correct, I think the next couple of years, China is the main point of focus, or even next 50 years, and Hong Kong, Hang Seng Index is sort of like a proxy play to go into the Chinese market, so watch out. Next is Nasdaq. Short term is a buy, medium term is neutral, long term is a buy, so recovery continue on Nasdaq and seems to be going the right way. Next is Nikkei. Short term is a buy this week, changed from sell last week. Medium is neutral, long term is still a buy, so this seems to continue. There's talks about more COVID cases in Japan, maybe a lot more people calling out the stopping of the Olympics, even though it's done behind closed door this time. The Japanese government continuing, and we just have to wait and see how things might go, how it might affect it. Also, which I talk about next, Japanese yen has been in some movement later as well. Okay, next is silver. Short term is a buy, medium is neutral, long term is a buy. So first, similar to gold. Overall, I think silver and gold are definitely two things I definitely have your on your radar for this year at least. Next is US dollar against Chinese yuan. Chinese dollar, short term is a sell, medium term is a sell, long term is a sell. So what does that mean? The Chinese dollar is strengthening again. And sometimes just wondering, what is strengthening of Chinese dollar? Why is that strengthening? Who is on the other side of the trade? Does that mean a lot of people selling US dollar and buying Chinese yuan? What does that mean? People getting out of US market or anything dominated in US dollar and going to the Chinese market? You know, buying all this Chinese yuan must have for one reason. I mean, trade dispute is still going on between US as well as China. So what do you have all these Chinese dollars doing, floating around for? Must be, in my view, probably is that they might be going to China. I don't know. Yeah, remember Donald Trump tried to stop the Chinese stocks to flow on U.S. stock exchange because of increased accounting regulation. I don't blame them. A lot of things maybe it's not up to scratch and shouldn't be in the U.S. stock exchange. But you know, people what I see as well. I'm sure a lot of people see that. You know, India and China is the future to invest in, and a lot of funds maybe start to go in there. Maybe that's also telling us something. Maybe they also agree now. The U.S. Indexes may be a bit toppy, you know, or somehow they think they want to give a bit of reducing exposure in American market and then going to China, thinking China probably will, run 6 months or a year, who knows. But the increase of Chinese dollars is telling us something. I think it's better to watch out for it. Next is US dollar against Japanese yen. I said before, the Japanese yen seems to have weakened a bit and gone back up about 110 yen against the US dollar last week or so, but it quickly went back down to 109. But it's it just weakly weakens and strengthens a little bit between 107 to 110. Seems to be all going around that area until US dollar go one way or another. I think it's probably range bound for a while. So once again, short term is a buy, medium term is neutral, long term is a buy. That's for US dollar against Japanese yen. Next is British pounds. British pound against Japanese yen and British pound against US dollar. Both of these crosses are buy. Short term, medium term, long term is a buy. So the market seems to British pound at the moment. It's continuing. Yes, US dollar weakness helps a bit, but also Japanese yen weakness helps a bit as well. And we just have to see how things goes with British pounds. Next is Bitcoin. Short term is a sell, medium term is a sell, long term is neutral at the moment. Well, this Bitcoin been quite fluctuating lately. It's trying to go back up about 40,000 or 40k area, but it's failing. It's around 38 at the moment, 35, 38, that range. And as far as I'm concerned, it's kind of difficult at the moment with Bitcoin. Suppose people will talk about it's supposed to be even better trade than gold. Gold have gone up, going back up to touch a new high or try to attempt that anyway, but on this at the same time Bitcoin seems to go reverse. Now Bitcoin being so volatile, who knows, he might quickly turn around and go back above 65,000, who knows. But in the short term at the moment it's a sell for short and medium term, long term is neutral. But the all this argument about Bitcoin can replace gold as a safe haven or something, it's gone out of the window as far as I'm concerned. Next is TLT ETF, iShares 20. Short term is a buy, medium term is neutral, long term is a buy. So this continue basically just say people are buying bonds at the same time, and the interest rate for those bonds yields are not great at the moment. We just have to see how things go. Next is Tesla. Short term is a buy, medium term, long term is neutral. One thing about Tesla though, I think I talk about ARK, Cathie Wood's ARK ETFs. It's very similar to, if you look at it, it's very similar to Tesla. So, there was no secrets. Cathie Wood did say Tesla is one of the big, you know, component within the ARK ETFs. And if you want to, you know, look at both charts, they are very, very similar. So if Tesla continue to recover and make new highs, then the ARK will go up. But if not, basically you track one, you know the other one, how things go. Short-term wise, it might be recovering. But I personally feel ARK is... even if Tesla may be recovering, I think ARK might have a bit of issue because it's such an open book. I said it before, a lot of people may be circling in the financial world on the ARK. Basically, a lot of it is in illiquid markets, and because it's such an open book, everybody knows what they're actually doing. They might be, you know, voucher funds will be circling around trying to, you know, pick up pieces of ARK. Who knows? We just wait and see what happens next. Now, next is Australian Index, XJL. Short term is a buy, medium is a buy, long term is a buy. So this has gone sideways a bit, but last week I think it's gone up. It's following American Dow Jones now, and see how things go. Last but not least is Alibaba. Short term is a sell, medium term is neutral, long term is still a sell. So I said before, I like Alibaba, but the market is saying otherwise. It's just go, you know, sell at the moment. This is something definitely on my radar. I'm just having a look on that one and keep it on in my portfolio. But I think Alibaba has teeth. I think overall it might be forced to be breaking up by the Chinese government because it's gone too big. But it does have very big dominant market shares. And also not two things that people not talk about much is the distribution, you know, for it, like for a bit like Amazon Prime, you know, you can deliver things in UK within, you know, 24 hours or something, or in 2 days, you know, more places in UK. But similarly, Alibaba can, you know, send things, you know, across China within 72 hours, and that's no small deal, you know. It's a big thing, you know. China is a big place, and very much like America. And across, you know, from one end to the other, to send things within 72 hours, it has a very good, you know, network, at least you know, supporting system to send things around, and that is itself is a strength. Secondly, is as far as I'm concerned, it's the big data. Jack Ma has been talking about it for a long time. Now, with the spat between U.S. government and Chinese government, and what Donald Trump did last year, you know, tried to restrict growth of Chinese technologies, well, so to speak. Do you think people or businesses in China will go to use AWS, you know, Amazon Cloud, or use Microsoft Cloud? You know, they probably trust using Alibaba Cloud a lot more. This cloud data is going to make them a lot more money. And I think this is a string underneath that, this, you know, big data using the Alibaba data. If the Chinese government can, you know, ensure that it is very much just stay within China and, you know, big in China and can control it, so it won't, you know, abuse its market shares. I think Alibaba, just this big data thing is a big thing. So, you know, forget about fintech as far as I'm concerned. Yes, it's a big thing, you know, but it's stepping on top on the toes of the traditional banking industry, and it should be regulated. So all this big hoo about Ant Financial being regulated or fined by the Chinese government, I mean, look at the financial industry in America, always get fined. You look at HSBC fined big time, billions of dollars. For Alibaba, it's, you know what, like 5 or 6% or something, you know, it's still of its total sale last year. It's a lot of money, but it's not as much. And I think this negative sentiment in Alibaba, to me anyway, is a bit of overdone. But that's what the market is doing. That's what trend following does, you know, for the market. But underneath, I think, you know, keep an eye on Alibaba. When it turns, it probably can turn quite a bit quite quickly. Long term, I think this is something that you should keep an eye on, because I just feel Alibaba, just the dominance of it and the capabilities and this cloud on its own. Just look at Amazon. How much money did they actually take from, you know, from on the shares price, you know, when loads of people use AWS? And, you know, Amazon is the leader as far as I'm concerned in clouds. Microsoft is next. And if China, being 1.4 billion people, with so many businesses over there, or maybe mandated by the Chinese government, just use cloud, not trusting AWS, and worry about spat between US and China, trade problems, technology problems. Chinese businesses, without even direction from the Chinese government, just want to stay within China, use Chinese cloud. In this case, Alibaba is a big boy over there, and that is the dominance bit. I think it's definitely good things for it. But at the end of the day, it's trend following. I'm trend following, sell at the moment, but I think it will have some good time to come later on, something that we should all keep an eye on. Basically, that's the update for this week, and I will speak to you next week. Happy trading and stay safe. Bye for now.